Greetings and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believers City Church. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the lead preaching pastor here at Believers Church. Each week we gather here and we do so also in small groups throughout Dunn County and beyond. And we gather to revisit our previous Sunday's message. And this time we do so to discuss and to apply it to our individual practical lives. If you're local, you're probably tuned to 101.7 FM Street Level Radio for this broadcast. And if you're further away, you're probably tuned to our web broadcast, maybe even with us via regional TV. But however you got here, we want you to know we're glad you're here. Our text this week is from the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. And our message on Sunday was entitled, The Last Hour. Let's jump into it.
Apostates are the most dangerous, demonic, and deadly people in the church. They are in the church, but they're not in Christ. Apostates claim Christ, but they deny Christ. They build relationships with God's people, and in the end, they deny Christ, and it's not because they lost their salvation, it's because they fake their faith. These are counterfeits. These are double agents sent from the kingdom of darkness. These are people who infiltrate the ranks of the church to cause rancor and division within the church. And a Christian will use God's grace, and an apostate will abuse God's grace. The Apostle Paul asks a pregnant question. He says, should we sin that grace may abound? He's talking about, to some degree, apostates.
Every single one of us has got something in the Word of God that we wish wasn't true. And when you reach that point, whatever that issue might be for you, you need to know that you can find someone to disagree with God and agree with you. They're called false teachers. And instead, you need to believe what God has said and change your mind.
Back in the 1970s, when Christian films were really in their infancy, there was a movie called Thief in the Night that came out. It was a rather low-budget film that was, of all places, shot in Iowa. And it came on the coattails of the Jesus movement that was there during the 60s and 1970s. And it was essentially, this movie, about the rise of the Antichrist and of those who had missed the rapture. Despite its best intentions, I think it caricaturized the Antichrist in such a way that it gave him, I don't know, a Hollywood persona, maybe a Marvel Comics identity. Now, John, the Apostle John, in our text this week, took a decisively different approach to the issue of the Antichrist. His strong insinuation was that in our current world, yes, even in our churches, and there were those who are to be given that title also. Those that are not just fake Christians, but moreover, they are essentially little antichrists. They are counterfeits. They are frauds. Now, they could certainly be there, be here in our churches for innocuous reasons, maybe. They're there for actual nefarious reasons. But either way, the point is they are not what they appear. Now, the reasons that someone will attend a church, be part of a local church in any way, these reasons are many. And it's important to understand that for many reasons, not just this one. Some people want to simply belong to a community for safety, security. They want some nice friends, if you will. And then maybe they're there just looking for a wife or a husband. Maybe they're there because they are just overwhelmed with guilt and they want to appease an unknown deity so as to not experience the possibility of a wrath to come. And while some are here, indeed, for legitimate reasons, aka a desire to serve, worship, learn more about their Redeemer, there are also others that are here to undermine the kingdom of God and the pursuits of such. even if, and this is important, they don't wholly grasp that that's what they're doing in some cases. John, he had the bravado to label these latter folks as antichrists. Antichrist. You know, not, you know, no 666 tattooed or visions of world power and grandeur of the political realm and just not on board, quote unquote, with the true vision of the church, with the redemptive holy life or that comes with being a follower of Christ. Yes, and some are indeed there to effectively undermine all kingdom priorities and Jesus' first pursuits, and they know exactly what they're doing. Now, it's important to see that this ruse is perpetuated against not just God, but against his bride, against his church, against his people. They are like a spiritual suicide bomber. And if you have been around to see such an individual finally go off, quote unquote, you know that the damage that is done to those around him or her can be extensive, and you see that is the point. Maximum carnage. Thus, this is why John takes the time to break it down, takes the time to give serious warnings to the true church, because it is that important. Now, Paul the Apostle, he also warned us of such. He said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore," Paul said, "watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Comes from Acts chapter 20. Look, I know that we all would like to believe that inside a church is the one place where it's safe from the darkness. But actually, we tend rather to be in Satan's crosshairs most of the time. The point that John is making here is that while we cannot stop these false individuals, we can smarten up, we can seek the indwelling Spirit of God to dwell in us and give us new eyes, if you will. Now, both of these aspects, the smartening up and the indwelling Spirit of God, these are all aspects that indeed open the eyes of the believer. They raise an awareness to just who and what is authentic and who and what is not. I have seen over the years at times the youngest of believers go toe-to-toe with such false teachers and fake followers and come out a champion. I have seen wisdom and I have seen foresight that was well beyond the age of some of these reborn believers. But even the youngest believer that is indwelt with the Spirit of God seems to, I don't know, recognize someone, if you will, and recognize something that just doesn't pass the smell test. However, there have also, at the same time, been casualties. Those who were brought down by whispers of lies and innuendos and false teachings from others. This is why we teach the Bible the way we do here at this church, for knowing what God has said is the best defense against the sneak attacks of the enemy. Now, one of the problems in this fight is that seldom, if ever, does a wolf actually look like one. In fact, they can, as the Bible has so described, present themselves as angels of light, quote unquote. Come on, man, they don't come with red horns or red tails and horns. What we need to be aware of is that this issue is just not going away, but rather, as we are now approaching these last days or moving through these last days, that is, it's going to become
an increasing aspect in our spiritual world. As we approach the end, the battles will increase. And unless our determination and our commitment to Scripture and the Spirit increases in like kind, many local churches and indeed many folks themselves will simply not survive it. Just because a person goes to church does not in any way mean that they are authentic born-again believers. Paul gives us some practical tests, actually, in the letter 2 Timothy. He speaks of some benchmarks that are found in those who are imposters. Here's part of the list. He says, these are people who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, lastly, and having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Look, many of us, if not most of us, have some level of aversion to casting dispersion on one's confession or making a judgment concerning another person's authenticity. In fact, we know the situation. We know the scene. We are regularly told that we're not to judge, and therefore we are effectively so often allowing these folks to wander about uncontested. But such a free pass is not found in Scripture, and certainly there is no prohibition against exercising a real spiritual discernment. In Matthew 7:1, the verse that even pagans know is often used as their free pass. But note that the language of that verse, that it is speaking of a judging to condemnation. What does that mean? It means judging to the point of declaring that that person is going to hell. Now, we don't make that judgment, nor are we ever included in that high judicial process. But we are not prohibited from being fruit inspectors. In just a couple of verses after that famous verse in Matthew is this line: do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Well, now, how do we do this? How are we obedient to this verse unless we make a judgment call as to what is a dog and whether that person is a pig? In fact, then just a few verses after that, Jesus goes on and says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. How can we be obedient to that passage also unless we make a judgment? I wonder, would you be surprised to know that the Bible is actually full of directions for you to judge? You can't be aware and a faithful Christian if you attempt to never make a judgment call on the authenticity and the reality of people's claims. I can't do my job as a pastor. You can't do your job as a brother or sister in Christ. Even Jesus experienced the pain of having a false professor in his midst, claiming to be something that he was not. Now, I have no doubt that Jesus did that so that we could realize that Satan, well, he'll come at anybody and he'll come at everybody. and that there has always been and always will be those around us who are claiming to be something that they are not. You know, the dangerous part of all of this is that these individuals, what's their goal? To drag you down with them. After all, misery loves company. And these individuals, they will expand, they will get bigger and larger and move in your midst. They will expend every resource they have to make sure that they indeed have plenty of company.